Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Back to the four things that children really want for Christmas that won't put you in debt. Number three, children want realistic expectations about gifts. Hear that? I didn't say gifts. I said they want realistic expectations about gifts, which means that you need to talk to your children, talk to your spouse, and maybe even talk to grandma and grandpa about what the realistic expectations are, what they can expect, and the real reason for the season. Okay. Maybe ask your children for ideas. How can we make Christmas more Christ-centered? All right, and they might surprise you. And you need to deal with the whole issue of Santa Claus when you're talking about realistic expectations about gifts, because unfortunately, Santa Claus and gifts are so closely tied in our culture today. But the way we dealt with Santa Claus was to say that he was a cartoon, a character, but he was built on a real person called Saint Nicholas. And you can read a little about the history of St. Nicholas if you like to your kids. But basically, I would tell my children when they were young that St. Nicholas was a man who loved Jesus a lot. That's why he got the title Saint. And he also loved children. And he would give gifts to children. And so to continue that practice, we give gifts to children on Jesus' birthday. Now, some people like to have a birthday party for Jesus and put the emphasis for the season back on Christ, putting Christ back at Christmas, if you will, and less on the gift giving. But you've got to deal with the realistic, help your children have realistic expectations about the gifts. So, for example, one really helpful thing you might want to do is to teach your children to recognize advertising slogans and point out, watch the television toy ads with them, and point out that a lot of advertising slogans emphasize spending, they emphasize consumerism, they emphasize a false sense of perfection for the holidays. You've seen it, you've seen the gorgeous pictures, you've seen they have the perfect tree this year, you know, and it all is meant to entice you to spend money, so you need to point that out to your kids. You know, in the book Unplug the Christmas Machine, written by Joe Robinson and Jean Staheely, they tell this story about a boy who asked his mom for a certain toy because watching the ads on television had convinced him that this toy was going to be great. Guess what? His parents reminded him, you already have that toy and you didn't like it that much. So it's your job as parents to teach your children to watch those TV commercials or watch those ads, wherever they're seeing them. And now it's not just television. It might be the internet and all kinds of places. And point out to them when they have unrealistic expectations, either about the amount of gifts they're going to get or about what that toy or that gift can deliver. Because a lot of times it looks like they're delivering happiness. And we know toys don't deliver happiness. Memories, time with family, like we said earlier, the reliable traditions, that what produces joy and happiness at Christmas. Now, I had one friend when my kids were young and her kids were young who followed this tradition that you can think about. She told her boys, she had two boys, you know what? Jesus only received three gifts at Christmas. Jesus got gold, frankincense, and myrrh, if you remember from the wise men. And so she thought that was a good practice, and she'd tell her sons, you're only going to get three gifts. And she'd tell them far in advance of Christmas, you know, you will get one gift that is a book and one gift that is clothing and one that's a toy. So the kids went into the season knowing what to expect, and that gave them some grounding, and that dealt with maybe lessened the disappointment they were going to have, because that's how they did it in their family. You could also consider buying only for children, not adults, going back to the way Christmas was traditionally celebrated, like I said. Maybe ask your extended family to exchange names instead of buying for everybody. We did that for several years, and then it got to the point where it seemed kind of ridiculous for me and my siblings to be buying gifts for each other when we were all adults and really didn't need to be buying gifts for each other, so then it went down to just the children, and basically now all the children aren't children anymore, and we live pretty far apart, so there is no real gift exchange anymore among my family. But for a little while, we were buying a whole family a gift as opposed to every child or every person in the family. So, for example, I think one year I put together like a movie night, tickets to a movie theater and popcorn, or maybe I bought a DVD and a popcorn, put it in a gift basket. You could give a family an event instead of stuff like tickets to their local zoo or to a play they might enjoy. And now with the internet, you can find out what kinds of events and activities are coming to anybody in any town. And there's gift cards that are easy to buy that way. So consider buying one gift for a whole family instead of individuals. One tip also I have is to, when we're talking about gift giving, is to buy your gifts in cash. And I include this when I talk about your plan for a debt-free Christmas, that studies have shown that we spend up to 20% more when we use plastic, meaning debit or credit cards, than when we use cash, believe it or not. So when you're ready to go out Christmas shopping, have a plan of how much you're going to spend, get it in cash, put it in an envelope, and spend only that amount. And you will probably spend less and you'll be more careful, because when you actually spend cash, it feels like you're spending it. When you put everything on the credit card or even a debit card, it doesn't feel as much like you've spent it. It actually registers pleasure in our brain when we buy with plastic, and we'd rather it measure a little bit painful, because it is, we're parting with our money. Here's one more tip about helping children have realistic expectations about gifts. Talk to your children about the proper behavior before you go into a store, especially if you're going into a toy store, or gosh, every store has toys this time of year, doesn't it? Talk to them about why you're going into the store, that you're shopping for groceries or necessities or for somebody else and not for toys, and be very clear about how you expect them to behave. No whining, no begging, no pleading, no putting things in the cart, no touching things, you know, and then have consequences for what that is. So maybe even put up a reward and take that reward away. Like, you begged and pleaded and I told you not to, and so therefore you're not going to get the pack of gum I promised you at the end or whatever. Okay, but you've got to do that before you walk into the store. Because again, what children need are realistic expectations about their behavior and about what they can expect. Otherwise, it just gets blown out of proportion and everybody gets pretty stressed out. Okay, so we've talked about three things children really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt. One is time with the family. They want reliable traditions. They want realistic expectations about what gifts they can receive. And finally, number four, they want an even pace to the holidays. Remember, I talked in the beginning of the podcast about the holiday season should have sort of three seasons: Advent, Christmas, and then the time after, the 12 days after Christmas leading up to Epiphany. And our culture just doesn't do it that way. We start Christmas like the day after Halloween, and then it all comes to a crashing halt. Children would rather have an even pace. So would we. So don't start Christmas too early. Someone on my Facebook, one of my Facebook friends said, her son asked if they could get the tree already. Now I'm recording this on November 7th. I think it was about Halloween. He was asking if they could have their Christmas tree. And since they do a live tree, they said, nope, it won't last till Christmas. So don't start Christmas too early. Wait until after Thanksgiving if you can. Wait until December if you can to start any activities. It's getting harder and harder and harder to do that. Put aside the countdown calendars. Put aside the letters to Santa. Put aside wish lists, especially if they promote greed or selfishness or overemphasize the gift-giving aspect of the holiday. Just, you can eliminate those. Your children will grow up just fine. Okay? But don't make them write letters to Santa if you're trying to emphasize that this holiday is about Jesus and not about a fictitious person called Santa Claus. I have one more piece of advice. This came from the next piece of advice came from the Unplug the Christmas Machine book, which I think is getting more and more difficult to implement. But their suggestion was that you support stores that delay Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And 20 years ago, when I first read the book, it was more possible to do that. You could find stores that would wait until December 1st or after Thanksgiving to start their Christmas displays. Now, it's just a losing battle and we have lost. Stores are now advertising that they're going to be open on Thanksgiving Day. That used to be sacred, you know, that you spent it with your family. Now they're going to be open. It's just starting the shopping frenzy earlier and earlier and earlier all the time. My oldest daughter had a friend from China come and stay with us, and this was early October for a brief weekend, and we had to go to Walmart for some reason. This woman from China was shocked to see that Christmas cards were already out. I was a little shocked too. Early October. So if you can, if you find a store that's delaying putting up their Christmas decorations, thank the manager. But boy, to boycott them, whew, you're not going to be able to shop anywhere because they're all putting out their displays earlier and earlier. But you can certainly complain. Maybe if more of us complain, they'll delay it till at least November or Thanksgiving would be even better. I recommended this earlier, but I want to reiterate, since children really want an even pace to the holiday season, well, actually adults do, save some activities for post-Christmas. There's always seems to be a letdown after post-Christmas. So save some activities. You know what? If you like baking cookies and you can't get it done before Christmas, you can do it after Christmas. There's that lovely week kind of between Christmas and New Year's when things are usually kind of quiet. Put some things to do during that week. Maybe baking cookies, maybe doing crafts, maybe making the gingerbread house that you always want to do. It doesn't have to be done before Christmas. Who said? Nobody. Play games, watch a movie, spend time with your family. Stretch that Christmas season into the period after Christmas. Okay? If your children receive an overabundance of toys, you know, from relatives or grandparents or something like that, hide some of them if you can and put them away and then bring them out in February or bring them even out in the summer. Like, oh, we're going to have Christmas in July. Did you even remember you got this Christmas gift? You might want to, you know, have them unwrap it and then maybe ask them which ones they want to put aside. They might forget about it. And then it's like a lot of fun come February when you pull it out again. I used to do that when my kids were little. We would recycle through toys. I got this idea from a friend. It's not original. But she had a big box, kind of like a toy box of sorts, and she would take some toys and she'd put them away for 6 months and then pull them out again. And it was a lot of fun. It was like the kids got a new toy. Okay, my final tip is to consider holding off giving some gifts until Epiphany, which is the 12th day after Christmas. Of course, that's, like I said, traditionally when the wise men showed up to give gifts for Jesus. So why not delay giving, maybe not all of them, because that's awfully hard to buck tradition that way, but consider holding off and giving at least one gift on the day when Jesus got his gifts, Epiphany. It kind of stretches out the season, creates a little more even pace to the holidays. And maybe you even tell the kids, you haven't gotten all your gifts. One more is coming 12 days after Christmas. Gives them something later to look forward to. De-emphasizes all the gift giving at once. Kind of spreads it out a little bit. So those are my suggestions from Unplug the Christmas Machine, that book by Joe Robinson and Jean Staheely. The four things kids really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt. They want time. They want reliable traditions. They want realistic expectations about gifts. And they want an even pace to the holiday season. So I wish you the merriest, happiest Christmas and a happy new year.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.